Hello, and welcome to Sentero Speaks, a podcast featuring Sentero staff members who share their insight about Sentero values, programs, and services, and their impact on the surrounding community, work environment, and culture. I'm your host, Mariah Beidelman, and today I'll be speaking with Matthew Lewandowski, a licensed professional counselor and outpatient clinician at Sentero. Matt will be sharing his insight into the stigma surrounding men's mental health issues, how men can overcome stigma, and lastly, how loved ones can help create an environment conducive to open communication and support. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks.
Let's get started. Men's Health Month is celebrated every June to bring awareness to health issues facing all men and encourage them to seek help if needed. One issue that seems to be relevant each year is the stigma surrounding men's mental health care. Can you explain why this seems to be an issue and there's a lasting stigma surrounding mental health care?
Absolutely, yeah. So there are several different factors that play into the continued stigma around mental health care for men. First off, the social norms of our society. So we unfortunately live in a society that has built the misconception that expressing emotions is seen as weakness in men. So it's the age-old saying of boys don't cry. There's also a general social norm stigmatizing mental health, not exclusively to males, that has traditionally limited overall mental health treatment. But we definitely see these social norms impacting males even more. Second, and related to the previous factor, men have a general reluctance to open up and talk. We tend to internalize or minimize our struggles, feeling like we're supposed to deal with it on our own and not let anyone else know we're suffering. Lastly, men are more likely to downplay their symptoms. Again, there's this pressure to be okay, to not show any signs of weakness or vulnerabilities. And so as males, we often downplay our symptoms as being not that big a deal or something that we will just figure out on our own. So these factors all contribute to that lasting stigma surrounding mental health care for men.
Does age, culture, race, or any other factors play into the issues you mentioned?
Absolutely. We definitely see differences in men's mental health struggles as well as barriers to seeking help. Older males tend to be less likely to seek treatment, most likely due to those ingrained societal expectations. As conversations around mental health continue to open up, I feel that we're seeing the younger generations really embrace and address their mental health. Various cultures and racial groups also tend to have barriers to seeking help. Racial and ethnic minorities have less access to mental health care services and are more likely to delay or fail to seek mental health treatment. American Indians, for example, are less likely to seek treatment from traditional mental health providers, seeking help from more traditional healers. Minority groups often turn to more informal providers, such as clergy, family, and friends. So there's definitely some different factors that are at play, whether it's age, culture, race, etc., in terms of that barrier to accessing mental health.
What are the most common mental health issues experienced by men, and do they typically display symptoms differently than women?
There are a number of mental health issues that are commonly experienced by men. Depression affects over 6 million males in America. And while depression and anxiety are almost twice as common in women, men are far less likely to seek treatment. Additionally, men are almost 4 times more likely than women to die by suicide. 90% of those who receive a schizophrenia diagnosis by age 30 are men. Additionally, from a trauma perspective, research has shown that men are around 60% more likely to experience at least one traumatic event in their lifetime, as compared to around 50% for women. Overall, men are more likely to experience substance abuse issues. Additionally, we see various mental health issues experienced within groups of males based on racial or ethnic differences, as well as sexual orientation. Gay and bisexual men are more likely to develop mental health disorders in general, and are at an increased risk of suicide. Black and Latino males are 6 times more likely to be murdered in the U.S., which can impact day-to-day functioning and stress. Additionally, black males have a higher prevalence of schizophrenia than white males. Native American males are at an increased risk for substance abuse and suicide. So there are a lot of different mental health illnesses and issues that can be common in males and can be common in different groups of males. There are also different ways in which mental health symptoms can be manifested in men versus women. Men are much more likely to see their doctor about the physical symptoms of depression or anxiety, such as a racing heart, digestive issues, and headaches. Additionally, depression in men is much more likely to be felt as fatigue and loss of interest in work and hobbies, rather than sadness and worthlessness. Additionally, stressors and mental health symptoms in men can be manifested as substance use or violence, aggressiveness, anger, and irritability.
What are some ways men cope with untreated mental health issues, and what can be the impact of those coping mechanisms?
So overall, what we see, that, at least in my opinion, is the most common way that men cope with untreated mental health issues is avoidance, which can be broken down into several different avenues. First off, it's avoidance of what is actually impacting them, whether it's depression, anxiety, a recent trauma, pressure to be the breadwinner of the family, relationship issues, job stress, etc. And so that avoidance might look like shutting down or numbing out, perhaps becoming emotionally and physically distant, not wanting to engage in typical activities or spend time with friends or family. Avoidance might also be using drugs or alcohol to help cope. The idea there is that we are using some other substance to take away those feelings, if only for a brief moment, rather than confronting and addressing them. Another common way that men cope with untreated mental health issues, which is a form of avoidance in a way, is anger and aggression. So from a societal standpoint, we've ingrained in our cultures that it is more socially appropriate for men to express anger than sadness, fear, or shame. And therefore, that's a common way that untreated mental health issues can be displayed. So it might be yelling at a spouse, getting into frequent arguments, breaking objects, physical aggression, or just a general irritability. So the impact of this avoidance can be that we never address the stressors or the issues at hand, which can cause them to persist longer than they should. For example, if we get an illness such as a cold, you know, we go to our physician to treat it. We rest, we stay hydrated, we maybe soothe the sore throat or take medication. And if we don't do these things, the cold will continue and most likely can get worse in some situations. And so our mental health, we can take a similar approach with that, emphasizing that if we do not take care of ourselves, these issues might increase in severity or get worse or just persist over time. And so if we look at some of those negative coping skills that men tend to take, they can have significant impacts on our overall well-being, such as drug use or substance use, violence or aggression, disruption of social relationships.
So how can loved ones of men who are struggling emotionally help if the male is reluctant to talk about their feelings or seek emotional support?
Yeah, there are several ways that we can support a male in our life who is struggling emotionally and is reluctant to open up or even seek treatment. First, we want to make sure that we aren't sending a message that something is wrong with them. In my experience, this tends to lead males just to shut down rather than addressing their concerns. We want to make sure that we are checking in with them regularly and asking how they're feeling, which might look like, you know, literally, how have you been feeling, as opposed to what's wrong. Seeking mental health treatment can also be an overwhelming or scary experience for anyone. And so identifying resources or mental health agencies can be a way of reducing intimidation when seeking help. Lastly, one way that we can help males seek support is by expressing our love and concern for them. So that might be something like, you know, I felt more distant to you recently. I want to be able to help and support you, but I don't know if I have the ability to do that on my own. What are some ways that I can help you? So it's important that they know it's coming from a place of love and support, helping them to not feel alone, rather than approaching it from a place that might stigmatize it or lead to shame.
So do you have any recommendations or tips for parents of boys that will help them establish healthy emotional expression?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the best ways that our children learn from us is through modeling of appropriate behaviors and communication. So don't be afraid to talk about emotions. That's how our kids learn. So if we want our children to express emotions appropriately, it's key that we are doing that ourselves. So parents might model that type of expression using I feel statements, such as, I feel proud of you for working so hard on that assignment. I felt happy when we played that game together. Or, it hurt my feelings and I feel upset when you throw your toys at me. So it can be helpful with children to assist them in recognizing and understanding their own emotions. Parents of boys can work on breaking that stigma around emotional expression by instilling at a young age the ability to appropriately express and work with their emotions. Normalize emotional expression and build a family culture that openly talks about emotions in an honest and healthy way. Lastly, it can be important that we are helping kids work through difficult situations rather than avoiding them. So offer to provide support and structure through difficulty as they learn to manage these challenges on their own. And providing that type of support and structure is going to help our kids learn about emotional expression. It's going to help teach them how they can grow and ultimately help build some of that autonomy and independence for the future.
For parents, say, like, in a single parent situation where maybe there's just a mother and a son, or a situation where it's maybe, like, grandparents and a male child, does it matter if that positive emotional response and the positive expression and examples that the person gives, does it matter if they're a male or female when they show this to the child, or does it kind of have to be modeled by another male for the child to understand that it's okay for men to express their emotions?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it can be beneficial and helpful to have a male in their lives who's modeling and showing some of that expression, but it's not necessary. Single parent mothers or grandparents can also really work on that emotional expression. One of the things that I've seen in adults who are maybe raised by a single mother or a single parent, they can still have healthy emotional expression if that was something that was built into the family dynamics and culture that they were raised in. So I don't think it necessarily matters whether it's a male parent or a female parent. As long as we are teaching them about healthy emotional expression, emotional regulation, and building that foundation of breaking that stigma around mental health, that it's okay to talk about our feelings, it's okay to not be okay. It's definitely unfortunate that there is such a stigma still attached to mental health, especially with that of males. So it's important that we keep working at breaking that stigma and normalize seeking treatment and support, regardless of gender. But there are a lot of excellent resources available and people who are working to break those barriers. Sentero and other community mental health agencies are organizations that are available for outpatient therapy services. In Franklin County, the Adam H. Board can help identify providers and provide support for those struggling with drug and alcohol use and mental health. The National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, has resources on mental health, including crisis numbers and text lines, as well as support groups. Supportive, SUPPORTIV, is a peer support network that provides anonymous mental health support groups. So they've got a pretty cool app that's actually available, a way to provide some support, but approach mental health even from like an anonymous standpoint, which can help people open up. Heads Up Guys is an organization that has strategies and resources to manage depression specifically in men. So there are so many different options that are available for mental health support and treatment. And I hope that we can continue to work on getting more men connected with these options, given the historic reluctance to seek treatment for issues that they face.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
To learn more about Sentero, visit www.sentero.org.